Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UAP reality. Hi, I'm David Twitchell, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO, UAP, and abduction phenomenon. We have a return guest today in Stephen Bassett. Stephen is one of the most recognized political activists pressing for formal disclosure of an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. Stephen is the founder and director of the Paradigm Research Group, PRG, and co-founder and director of the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, or HAD. He has spent decades working to end the government-imposed truth embargo surrounding the UAP-ET reality. Bassett has organized multiple disclosure-related press conferences at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. to help bring the professional media into the UAP disclosure issues. His passionate advocacy, media appearances, and presentations have helped move UAP-ET disclosure from the fringe into the mainstream, inspiring a new generation of truth seekers. Through PRG, Bassett continues to campaign for legislation and formal congressional hearings with military and civilian witnesses. His ongoing mission is to hold governments accountable and push humanity toward open contact and transparency. Through the HDA, he seeks to bring the professional film industry into the content creation the public will need and demand post-disclosure. So, all of that, welcome to the show, Stephen.
Always a pleasure to be with you, David.
It's a pleasure to have you. You were on We Are Not Alone back in September of 2023. Tell our listeners what has been happening in the world of UAP disclosure since then.
The last time I was on was 2023, really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, guess what?
Time flies.
Yeah, here's what's happening. I've always been optimistic about our prospects for ending the truth embargo. I get that. And I've always leaned forward. I don't predict dates, which is becoming kind of a thing now. But I've always leaned forward in terms of how things were going. And if it was favorable, I would be optimistic. This is different. Right now, the truth embargo, as I came to call it, which is the policy of the U.S. government to simply refuse to acknowledge that we have this extraterrestrial presence, which currently is referred to, for to be conservative, technologically advanced non-human presence, which are sometimes also referred to as biologics. This is all political speak. They're extraterrestrial. I have very little doubt about that. The truth embargo is collapsing, literally faster than I can keep up with it. A number of things have been accumulating for some time. We've seen, obviously, legislation. We've seen hearings. We've seen huge amounts of media coverage. You've seen witnesses coming forward. Fine. But at some point, that accumulates to a degree that it just collapses the structure of the truth embargo. And it is really happening now. So where we are right now is the president, just to be recent, the president called for the Department of Defense, ordered his Secretary of War, supposedly that's the name, to bring out the UFO files, which is exactly what Lawrence Rockefeller wanted President Clinton to do in 1994. And they made a run at it, but it didn't happen, and he didn't call for them. But this president just called for the UFO files, which is kind of a nebulous statement. In due course, we learned that part of those was, in fact, some 49 videos. And so that was an unprecedented thing. So in that sense, in that moment, he gave a substantial degree of legitimacy to the entire issue. Not that it isn't legitimate, it always has been. And Egseth has responded that that's what he's doing. All right. Now, a number of members of Congress have been engaging this issue now for nearly 3 years. That includes members in the House as well as the Senate. They have never stopped addressing the issue, and they have made numerous statements. There has been hundreds and hundreds of news articles that have picked up on these statements. And they step forward to reiterate that they expect those files to be released. That's unprecedented. Furthermore, they apparently learning, and they've talked to a lot of witnesses, and some of them have talked to people in SCIFs, and that's also being reported, that some of these videos are quite interesting. So, what can I say? At this point, everything is set up for the president, meaning that if any one of the files and or videos or images are incontrovertibly confirming that what's in that material is non-human, then the president can say, well, haha, we're not alone. However he wants to say it. And that would be disclosure, capital D, formal confirmation by the head of state. I would recommend, if I was being asked my advice on this by one of his advisors, don't do it that way, right? Look at the files first, talk to some people in the Pentagon, and then come forward and say, you confirming the extraterrestrial presence, and then release the files to the people that confirms what you've just said. That is the way to maximize the legacy that the president will get as being the first head of state to confirm the extraterrestrial presence. But in any event, whatever the truth embargo managers have in mind, whatever tricks they have up their sleeve to somehow diffuse this, make it go away, I don't know what it would be. They've now pretty much completely lost the battle. And so we could have disclosure tomorrow. We could have it in 3 days or 4 days. Now, one little item I like to talk about, which is kind of interesting, is that this particular new development was very much deliberately triggered by a former president whose name, as I recall, was Barack Obama. Now, how could former President Obama have triggered this bing, 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 bing process now that happened very quickly? He went on a pod show, podcast, which, of course, that's what you do now. Everybody goes on podcasts. And but it was a very good one. Brian Taylor Cohen is one of the top podcasters. Absolutely brilliant, huge following. He's able to talk to people in administration and so forth. He's like he's Edgar Cronkite or whatever the hell. There's so many people now that are on the same level of some of the old time news people, but they have their own podcasts. That's the new world, the new era. So he goes on and he arranges. Let me emphasize, he arranges to be asked a question. That's the way that works, you know. You just don't go on a podcast as an ex-president and say, ask me anything you want. No, you don't do that. And if you tell them the range, what you want to talk about, you may suggest a question that you would like. And then if they go off in the woods and start asking you awful questions, you probably exercise yourself out of that and you never do that podcast again. And nobody other major players may do that podcast. That's the way that works. I get it. I have no problem with it. So he's on this podcast and go and ask him, are aliens real? Right? What the hell? Ask the former president that. Not that former President Obama hasn't been connected to this issue umpteen ways. I'll take some responsibility for some of that. And what does he say? Yes, they are real. Oops. Oops. Now, there's two ways that can go. It's a joke. And that's okay. And immediately kind of lets that know. We go, let me laugh. Or it's a mistake. And why would it be a mistake? Because it is understood that all former presidents do not step into the major issues being dealt by the current president. You just don't do it. You just don't do it. It's extremely rare. And he just did that. He just stepped into the biggest issue in the world right now, though some would disagree, and said aliens are real. And so that was a mistake. And so you expect him to back out. All right. Meaning, what I mean is that there's almost certainly other life in this galaxy. It's much too large and they're real. He didn't do that. What he did was double down, not once, but twice. Now, this is where things get very interesting. So the former president, who is well connected to Podesta, who's worked under him in the White House, almost certainly informed him about the developments during the Clinton administration and other things that he knows, given he's been very much hooked to this issue for the last 20 some years. Right. He says, but they're not under Area 51. OK, well, now you're thinking this is definitely a joke, but it's not. So now what he has said is the aliens, which are in fact real, those real aliens are not under Area 51, meaning they must be somewhere else.
Right.
And then he doubles down again and says, unless there has been this huge conspiracy to keep it from the presidents. Mm-hmm. All right. Now he acknowledged that they're real, acknowledged Area 51, brought that up, and then acknowledged there's a truth embargo, all in the space of 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're saying, well, so what? Right. It wasn't a joke. He never said it was a joke. So what's going on? Well, the next day he did take it back, and he did that the next day because that way he's backed away from the protocol problem, right? At least in the minds of a lot of people. Okay, well, it was a mistake, whatever. And I think he said, I know they're real somewhere. He doesn't explain why he mentioned Area 51, but whatever, he backs out as best he can.
Yeah.
Things are moving so fast, it doesn't matter. So you may say, well, if this is a maneuver to accomplish something, what would it accomplish or what did it accomplish? Here's what it accomplished. The next day, 48 hours after the interview with Cohen, the issue gets brought to the attention of the president on Air Force One, and he responds in a very interesting way. He says, well, he has broken the law. He's broken classification. He's broken the law, right? Well, there are no aliens.
Who said he's broken the law?
President Trump. When this was brought up to him on Air Force One.
Okay.
He said, well, he's broken the law because it's classified. And I'm going, well, why would it be? There are no extraterrestrials. Why would it be classified? So he does that. And then at the last thing he says before they change subjects is, but I can save him. Something like, I can save him or I can help you. I don't know. Something like that. And people, I'm sure, were wondering, what do you mean? Before he lands, he has already put the order into Hegseth to go get UFO files and declassify them. He says, I'm going to declassify the UFO files and Hegseth is going to go get them. Now, what's the connection here? Well, first of all, remember, for a president to ask the Department of Defense to go get UFO files that he will declassify is an absolute unprecedented act. It's practically disclosure, almost.
Yeah.
It was something that Carter, I think, maybe would like to have done, but never got close. Clinton made a run at it for almost 2.5 years. The DOD shut that whole thing down. And now, boom, here it is. Why? What's going on? I can't say for sure. But let me just give you one possibility. A former president, aware of this issue, almost certainly knows it's true, right? Just stepped out and did almost everything but disclose. So here is the message to President Trump. There's been a lot of people out there calling for you to disclose the ET presence, right? To commit the Disclosure Act, which will be one of the greatest legacies any head of state will ever have.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I was president for 8 years. I had access to information. I had plenty of access if I wanted to know the truth of this, and I probably do, or I do. And therefore, I could do it. Oh, yeah, people would be mad. You stepped on the president's issue. You violated this protocol. But so what? History will record that I was the former president that confirmed the extraterrestrial presence, and you will have to confirm what I said. And it doesn't help that President Trump hates former President Obama. And so he literally steals a good deal of the legacy right out from under the current president, who will have to follow him. I mean, what is he going to do? Say that President Obama is lying about that? And it gets worse, because if President Obama does this, that may be enough for another head of state or two to go, well, that's it. That's enough for me. The next thing you know, a prime minister confirms it, and Trump still hasn't done anything. And I think the president got that message pretty clearly and acted right now. So he is moving to set himself up as quickly as possible so he can be the first head of state to confirm we're not alone and get what Chris Mellon recently wrote would be perhaps the single greatest act of any leader of any nation or empire ever in the history of the human experience. A legacy unlike anything else, which he could do today or capture tomorrow. I don't care what's going on in the Gulf. And so that little thing happened. As that's my interpretation. Of course, I've been focused on this for 30 years, so there's a chance I may have that right. But just in case somebody missed it, that's what's happening right now, folks. And so just be ready because it could happen tomorrow.
Remind our listeners Mellon's involvement in the UFO phenomenon. What did he
Mellon,
as he said?
he's one of the key people that has helped bring this open, broke this open, break this open. He came forward in 2018 as part of the To the Stars Academy. He was one of 10, one of the most important of the 10 that came forward together, all with national security backgrounds in one agency or service or whatever, and various areas of study and so forth, including a CIA director. And lent their name, gravitas, bio, and affidavits to—I mean, bona fides to disclosure by coming forward and saying that this is real, and this organization, To the Stars Academy, is going to engage it, and so forth. That was less important than it was a vehicle, and what was important is it got these people forward and in the public domain to really goose this issue, move it out, and in due course, several people in that 10 became, I think, the key players. And that was Luis Elizondo, that's intelligence, that is Christopher Mellon, that's politics, and Gary Nolan, Dr. Gary Nolan, research. The other seven stepped back. I mean, they were there, but they kind of stepped back. They had served their primary purpose, putting their background and extraordinary career publicly on the line on this issue. Some of them are still part of the current how would you say incarnation of this group was To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences. Now it's To the Stars Academy. It's still doing things. Still a, I think, a for-benefit corporation. Its place in history is well established. So Mellon, of course, played a major role since 2018. He has written a number of articles and op-eds. He brought many witnesses to the Hill. He has made strong statements and so forth. So when he made that statement, and I forget where he wrote it, but that was just him doing his part. He's letting the president know this could be the greatest act of any head of state. He's literally giving him, in a way, permission or encouraging him to do it. Doesn't matter because this is not a partisan matter. This transcends politics. It's clearly nonpartisan. Everybody is treating it that way. So it doesn't matter what party or what the political ideology of Mr. Cohen or any of the others, including me. I'm totally nonpartisan. So that is what is happening. Meanwhile, the amount of media coverage has gone through the roof. I have been able to, on my website, Paradigm Research Group, log in links to nearly 18,000 articles. Mainstream regular press art media articles. I'm not logging in or links to YouTube videos because there's thousands and thousands of them and I can't keep up with them. There's no way. The media coverage exploded to the point where I'm now 500 articles behind. It's going to take me days and days and days to bring it current. And they're jumping on everything that comes out. Anything that's significant, the media is jumping on it. And when I say media, I'm talking English language media worldwide. I've got articles from India, China, Philippines, Japan, and a number of the European countries, of course, all those English-speaking countries, UK, Australia. And these articles, they pick up across the world. And so like the McCaslin disappearance, which has a ET UAP connection, disclosure connection, they jumped on that big time. Hundreds of articles have been written about McCaslin, which then expanded to other scientists and so forth, which I understand once the focus was there, they picked up on the others. But the one that's most important is McCaslin. The second one is William Sullivan. Those two should be investigated to death. The rest, I invite caution because I think Most of those are not connected to a government issue, a government action, and therefore their families are going to be put through unnecessary discomfort. McCaslin and Sullivan are more than enough to blow the issue of wet work on this issue, as opposed to others, wide open, which would be a problem for the government and a post-disclosure matter to deal with, and a basis for truth and reconciliation. Meaning, are they willing? Have they killed people in the past, which I
Oh
think
my
they did in the early days,
yeah, in
when they
the
really were frightened about it getting out, right? The 50s, 60s, they're trying to contain it. Some people are not going along with the program, and something happens to them. But then I think they stopped that. I think for decades and decades, they did not need to do it. They had the truth embargo under control. But as we get to the end of the truth embargo, when the president's going to confirm it, and it's all going to come out, there are some people at this point that are loath to have certain things brought forward publicly. And it's possible they may institute wet work against someone that they feel will say that, will bring that out, right? In other words, there's something they don't want out. This person is the one that will probably do it, and we need to get rid of that person. So wet work in the beginning and possibly wet work at the very end as we approach disclosure in the last few years. I hope it's not true. And so that got massive coverage. And so all I can say is the truth embargo is collapsing faster than anybody inside the military intelligence complex can stop.
Okay. I need to take one moment to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, Making Waves. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm your host, David Twitchell, and we're speaking with political activists pressing for formal, I should say, disclosure of the UFO reality. And Mr. Stephen Bassett. I was going to say, Stephen, when you mentioned Obama slipping up and saying, yeah, sure, they're real. It's like I've said on this show before, you ask these people in the know, do you have any documentation on Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny? And they just laugh at you. They say, of course not. That's silly. Have anything on UFOs or extraterrestrial visitation? I cannot confirm nor deny. I
Right.
cannot
Can't speak
confirm.
about that publicly, but I mean, this is part of the transition. I get it. It's necessary. Grush had to stay between the lines. He had everything cleared through Dobser. And then, of course, and then had to stop whenever they were asking him to go above his classification. That drove a lot of the those interested in the subject nuts. I understand, but I understand the issue well enough to know that that's what he had to do. He still made a huge impact on what the process that we're having to go through to get a confirmation from our president, as well as other witnesses going forward. There's been three major hearings with now 12 witnesses under oath. It's piled up, but the truth embargo is 79 years on. Billions of dollars possibly were spent on managing it, containing it, the vast classification schema that they needed, and of course, keeping all the programs at the highest level classification. But certainly tens of millions, and it's well entrenched. And so, yeah, it's not going to be easy to end it. It hasn't been easy, but I always knew that as we got close to the finish line, it would accelerate. In other words, we pick up speed and then boom, go down. This is not complicated, and that's kind of where we are. And by the way, a quick analogy: what happened with Obama in that simple interview with Brian Taylor Cohen? By the way, I encourage people to subscribe to Mr. Cohen's YouTube channel. Right, it is top. Would be the equivalent of him slipping up. Ask a question about, do you think there's any foreign interference, blah blah blah, and he says, well, there's an Iranian spy that's actually in the cabinet right now. That would be the same thing. That would be a slip up of massive proportions.
Right.
It would be a huge violation of protocol, and all hell would break loose. Now, the ET issue is not like that, but that's the equivalent, what he did.
I wonder if Obama slipped up, as you say, or he knew what he was talking about. He knew
No, he
what
didn't
was
slip up.
saying.
I am telling you that was intentional.
Here, that's
If
what I'm
it was a
saying.
slip up, he would have backed out immediately, David.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He doubled down and then doubled down again. He managed to get ETs are real, Area 51, and the truth embargo all in a 30-second response. And then they moved on. But guess
Yeah.
what? The media just goes, boom, he knew that. He knew the media was going to jump all over that. I don't know how many articles have been written, probably 85, 90. I'll eventually get those articles up on my website in the print media archive, paradigmresearchgroup.org, which, by the way, that site is nice, but I need to do a lot of work on it to make it super nice. I'm hoping to get to it, but first I've got to log in 500 articles.
Okay, so you've already discussed Hegseth saying that never before seen UAP footage is on the way, but you have seen no evidence of that, right?
Hasn't happened yet. It's been delayed, but understand there's a war going on in the Gulf that has it is so complicated and intense. It has the potential to trigger World War III, and so
Really?
I'm not upset that the files have not actually been delivered yet, but they are completely committed. There's no way they're going to back out of this. Now, the one thing that naturally I'm concerned about is that somehow the DOD is able to dish up to them a bunch of thin gruel. In other words, nothing really significant, maybe even throw in something fake that could be easily debunked,
Yeah.
which they'd be making a fool out of Hegseth and President Trump, but they might do that.
They've
And
always done. They've always done that, Steve.
that, they've done
They'll
things like that
show
in the past.
phony. They'll show phony UFO footage, and then get everybody up in arms about it. And then they'll come out and say, "Well, we've proven that was fake." So, but people tend to throw out the baby with the bathwater, you know?
No, that is a standard technique, but understand this is not that. This is material requested by the president. And so if they play that game and it blows up in their face, they could have a real problem. I would, God, I would love, I mean, my office is 2 blocks from the White House. I'd love to get an opportunity to go over and just check those out and say, look, that's nonsense. This is good. That's bad. That's fake. Whatever. And there's others that could do the same. But the activists that have been pursuing this issue for years, the fact that you were pursuing it for all these years does it means that you probably don't have a high position in some agency or the military because they don't do that. And that's all right. That's all right. But I'm available to advise and consent or whatever the hell.
You
No,
think
just advise.
they'd let you?
I have no idea. I'm just saying that like. I could be over there in like about 3 minutes and be happy to chat with anybody. Well, the one thing I'd like to talk to an advisor about is how to present it. How to present it to the public, because I've got a good idea how the public reacts to this issue. Also, I have a pretty good sense of how the internet handles this issue. I don't think any of the advisors do. I don't think they're hanging out on X much. If they're hanging out at all, they're hanging out on Truth Social. And I don't think Truth Social is any reflection of, well, because they don't have as many people, but is a reflection of how the internet deals with this issue. And so 30 years experience, I probably could be useful and happy to do it. Believe me. Anyway, and I've been to the White House before. I've actually been in the press room a number of times many years ago. So I'm not intimidated by it. So we'll see. But one of the reasons I'm in the press building 2 blocks from the White House, that's one of the reasons, because if we get disclosure and a whole lot of people find out that, yeah, that guy was right. He was not only right last year, he was right in 1997 and 2000 and 2005. Maybe we ought to talk to this guy. And so, there I am, right? Just cruise on over, maybe have a little lunch in the presidential dining room, chat with an advisor. I don't know. But if it comes to that, I am obviously well positioned.
Good. Now, you mentioned one of the scientists. What was his name? One of 10 scientists?
Dr. Gary Nolan.
No, at least 10 scientists linked to sensitive U.S. nuclear and aerospace projects.
Oh,
Now
yeah,
half
number.
have disappeared.
Well, there were scientists and people working in what we believe may have been programs that might have been connected to this issue. And some have died and some are missing. And
Or
it is the nature of the internet to run with things like that. And so if they think there's a connection, they're going to go with it and they're going to have a little fun. They're going to post. I understand. We all get that. But by and large, unless there's really something compelling, it's not going to get picked up. And so these kinds of incidents have been accumulating, but not a national issue. But McCaslin is a different matter. And so when McCaslin disappears,
I'm sorry, McCaslin is not one of these 10 scientists?
oh, he is.
Oh, he
When
is.
he, but when he got added to that list, I guess you could say, McCaslin disappearance is significant, extremely significant, and absolutely needs to be investigated and run to ground. It doesn't make sense. And his connection to the highest level of security, involving work that we very much believe is connected to the UAP issue is well established. And so the fact that he di doesn't just die, he disappears and they can't find a body. This is very unusual. All right. I'm not saying it can't happen. People fall off, hell, people fall off cruise ships and they find a body. I mean, you just can't go out and kill yourself and disappear unless you deliberately go in deep into some cave somewhere and do it because you don't want to be found. And he leaves his stuff behind, takes a gun. This is something that needs to be absolutely investigated. But when they jumped into that issue, when the press jumped into that, they naturally started doing research and they picked up some of these other scientists and it kept growing. Anybody that died, certainly, no matter how, that had been connected to this issue, suddenly maybe add to the list. And certainly people that disappeared. So now it's up to about 13.
I
Now, I would be shocked if any more than three people on this list could be in that category. I would be shocked. Secondly, everybody dies. And so right away, the ones that have died are to me less of a concern. The ones that are missing is another matter. Now, one of the ones that was missing for a while ultimately was found in a lake, I think, and drowned. So that's basically a death, but was missing for all. But there are, I think, four that are missing and never been found. That is very interesting. All right. Because people who have educations, who are relatively high-performing individuals, certainly working in significant positions, who suddenly disappear, that is not very common. And so at minimum, all of the disappearances should be considered. However, there is one death absolutely that has to be reviewed, and that is William Sullivan. And the reason for that, in other words, you want to go with the absolute strongest cases that clearly manifest deep suspicion and not just grab anything because you're gonna drag the families of those people through a very public thing, and it's not good for them. But William Sullivan, he is dead within a short amount of time, allegedly a suicide, after he has been approached by Burleson to testify. Now, come on. And that would not have really gotten a lot of play except for McCaslin. So we got two here alone, Sullivan and McCaslin. If they could run those to ground, they could blow the whole wet work game on this issue wide open and make life very comfortable for a number of people inside our government.
So they wanted them to testify as to the UAP reality and
Well, testify to matters related to the government's engagement of this phenomena one way or the other. And that most cases, if they're read in enough, if they have a high enough level of clearance, they probably know the ET presence is true. But it doesn't have to be that far to still be a major problem for the government. When when Fravor and Graves testified about the Tic Tacs and so forth, that was very significant testimony that needed to be addressed. Whether it was ET or ours, didn't matter. But that's not the kind of thing that's really a threat to the truth embargo. But people that are working in any programs directly engaging the issue, who have the highest clearances, believe me, right? That's another matter. Sullivan was in that genre, and he killed himself, clearly under stress. The question is, well, I say he died allegedly by suicide because, and he was under stress. But everybody know what suicided as a verb means, all right? And yeah, the intelligence communities of most of the major nations are capable of suiciding people in a dozen ways. And they've gotten away with that many times. So I hope Sullivan and McCaslin cases are absolutely investigated to the nth degree. Now, any resolution of those cases probably cannot happen before disclosure. Once there's disclosure, it could be resolved pretty quickly. And many other cases might be resolved quickly. But before disclosure, obviously, there's going to be substantial resistance in helping any entity, whether it's government or civilian, in getting to the bottom of those two cases.
Are you aware of any credible threats made to UAP whistleblowers like David Grush and Luis Elizondo? Luis Elizondo?
They're all getting death threats.
They're all getting death
Now,
threats.
what's a credible death threat? One of the aspects of the modern world is that just about anybody could threaten to kill anybody.
Right.
And very few will end up in a courtroom or jail.
Right.
In other words, the internet is many things, including a defamation machine and a threat machine. And there's other ways to threaten people. But the situation now is that we're at a place where when people get angry, they start throwing death threats around and other threats. And very few are actually called to account. And so you've got members of Congress, like Marjorie Taylor Greene has indicated she's gotten all kinds of death threats. And her son has gotten death threats. How many people have gone to jail for that? So the
Zero.
nature, the ability to communicate and,
Yeah.
secure lines and single and what's up and whatever the hell, or a note under the door, whatever. We're in a time right now where a significant number of people are willing to risk very, either civilian loss, civilian lawsuits or criminal actions, because they're really mad and they just want to threaten to kill somebody. In
Right.
most cases, they don't really intend to kill them. This is their way of showing their
Right.
lack of appreciation for what that person is doing. This is just another symptom of a culture that is increasingly getting toxic, that needs serious intervention
Yeah,
by some kind of health official or guru.
I need to take one more moment to remind our listeners that you're listening. You're listening to WHFR.FM, Making Waves. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm your host, David Twitchell, and we're speaking with political activists pressing for formal disclosure of the UFO reality, Mr. Stephen Bassett. Stephen, tell us about the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, or AARO, and their involvement in the disclosure efforts.
Well, the information about that is best gotten from the researchers. I'm not a researcher.
Okay.
Richard Dolan, I'm sure, could say a great deal, and others, or journalists like Ross Coulthart. He's done many, many. He's done a lot of coverage of that, including many interviews. But I'm as an activist. I'm not a journalist. I'm not a researcher. I'm an activist. I kind of watch what's happening and decide how to convert that into messaging that will involve the public and also advance the disclosure process. AARO is an organization with a tortured past. I'm not surprised at that. The original UAP task force didn't last very long, but it was a start. And then it went through another name, And then it became Arrow. And I like that name, the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. It's got a lot of character to it, and it's got a nice acronym, Arrow. Arrow moving forward in time to bring the truth. But not surprisingly, given that the truth embargo just wasn't going to end easily, it was going to drag out as a kind of battle taking place on multiple levels, that it's been abused. It's been used. In time, we'll kind of figure out who were victims of that abuse and who were complicit. But there enough has happened to undermine its validity as a fully and well-intentioned entity to bring about disclosure. It was a holding device in a sense for the issue, meaning, okay, that's why we're going to do it from here, and that's what's going to get that and whatever, because they had to have something. But it was formed too early for it to be a legitimate entity that's going to take us to disclosure in a righteous way. It couldn't do it. Now, will it be able to keep that name? I believe ultimately another name's going to have to be come up with so that they can distance themselves post-disclosure with all the shenanigans that went on with Arrow. But it served its purpose. And it will, it helped in a sense. I mean, it wasn't all negative, but I mean, it helped. It was needed. You had to have it. And so I'm okay.
Is it still in existence? You had,
Oh, yeah. Still in existence and still very controversial. And getting attacked. They'll probably make an effort to, how would you say, bring it back from the dark side. They might, and it could become the office. But after disclosure, well, the fundamental issue has been resolved. You don't need a resolution office, right? You need an office of disclosure, right? So the all domain anomaly. I mean, it doesn't mean that you don't need an organization to deal with. There are other anomalies out there, but most of we don't care about them, right? Loch Ness Monster is an anomaly. We're going to have a new office that is appropriate for the post-disclosure world that's going to be addressing the reality of an ET presence. And obviously, we're going to need an entity in government doing that. We're going to need a number of entities in government dealing post-disclosure. So I'm going to say that Arrow will eventually be jettisoned, and a more appropriate organization will be formed, which hopefully will not screw around with the issue and will develop a trusted presence in our government.
Right. So tell us about your involvement with the professional film industry regarding the UFO phenomena.
I'm really proud of this. Dan Harary, who was a longtime publicist and still is in Hollywood, meaning he had met all kinds of famous people and what have you.
Was on the show once.
By now? Oh yeah, sure. Dan Harary. He approached me at a conference and said, I have an idea. And I said, great, let's sit down. I think he finally told me the idea in Delhi. We go to delis a lot. I like delis, by the way. And there's lots of them in LA. And so he proposed this idea of the Hollywood Disclosure Association. Okay. And it would be to kind of connect the two worlds of UAP and film. And I instantly said, I'm on board. Because I actually tried to do something like that once, many years earlier, called the ET Media Group. But this would be much more sophisticated. I said, great, except I would want one change, not Hollywood Disclosure Association, but Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, because that's really what we're trying to do, create an alliance between two groups. All of the UAP citizen researchers and activists and journalists and filmmakers, right? And the professional Hollywood filmmakers, directors, producers, and what have you, the major talent, right? Who by and large has pretty much stayed on the fiction side of this for all these decades, making hundreds and hundreds of sci-fi movies with extraterrestrials in them and a bunch more without extraterrestrials, and making billions of dollars. Revenue, right? But they won't go into the actual ET issue with high-powered, expensive documentaries until recently, right? It took 70 some years to get there. And by the way, that happened about a year after the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance was formed, maybe a little after that. So maybe we played a little role there. But the idea was this, that, okay, eventually the film industry, particularly if we get disclosure, is going to jump into this with all kinds of docs and doc series and movies, or fictional narratives. Fine. But will they get it right? Because they haven't been studying this, and their staff hasn't been studying this. Where are they going to get the information from? The government? Well, yeah, the government might be helpful, but you have to be suspect. The information is in the minds and the books and the documentaries made by people who never even dreamed of having the resources of the Hollywood world and the professional film world. So
Well,
you need to talk to them. But all of us are considered a little nuts,
there's a
right? We
lot
may be
of
right, but we were crazy to even invest our time in it.
actors and people in Hollywood that have had their own personal sightings and involved with ET contact.
There's a number of people in the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance and fall into that category.
Yeah.
Two groups of members split in half. Hollywood founding members and UAP founding members. Now, some of them have got, cred in both sections, and they just pick the one that's most appropriate. It's about even with 250, 60 members. And this is a nonprofit, free. Well, I mean, the members have to pay a modest amount of dues, but everything else basically is free, really, in the sense that networking is all free. And so we're helping the Hollywood people or the film people connect with and network with the UA people. We're helping the Hollywood or film people connect to each other, and the UA people connect with each other. And outside people who see this saying, well, look, I'm not a member, but I think I want to work with that person. And so we're just helping people to get together to create content. We hold events. We'd hold more if we got a nice donation from some wonderful director in Hollywood that's made a couple of maybe 50, 80 million off of some nice sci-fi movies,
Like
and drop
Spielberg.
a without naming names, and drop 100, 200,000.
I can
We
name
could,
names. You don't
well, you can
have
name
to
names.
name names.
And we could then hold a lot of events and really accelerate what we're doing. And we are a nonprofit, and our intentions are righteous. But you got to earn that kind of stuff. So we're now over 2 years in, and I recommend people go to HollywoodDisclosureAlliance.org. So we're now, Goldie Hawn just came out and basically described what is a classic ET encounter, right?
Yeah.
Would we love to have her as a member? Oh, God, yes. Her husband, Russell, he actually was flying in her Arizona at the time of the event over Phoenix, and saw it. And he eventually talked about that. Would we love to have him as a member? You bet. And there are a number of others that when we approach them through their agents or their people, and usually it's no, right? Just don't want to go there. But I think one day they're going to start saying yes, and we'd love to have them in. There are about 20 people in Hollywood that are pretty high level, accomplished, well known, who have stepped into this issue with statements that are clear. And then, that's about where it stops. But I th so that means that at some point we may see a lot of them getting serious, and we're the only organization of its kind, and they would become a Hollywood founding member, and we would become a little bit more dynamic and able to continue to network.
So, where did you get this this information about Goldie Hawn and her sighting?
It was in the media. It's been in the media for the last 3 days. There's probably been 20 or 30 articles on it already, and I will get those up on my archive. In other words, I track the media. No one tracks the media on this subject more than I do. And I got a method that I use, and then I put links up to the articles so that you can just go search it on a year-by-year basis. You can search New York Times, Washington Post, or names or whatever, at least on a yearly basis. And you can't find easier access to the media coverage. And then I save all the pages so that if a link dies, and I need to go and do this, I mean, we're talking about some work here, I can go in and replace it from my server. And I've probably got 1,500 links that I need to replace. So it's a labor of love. And it's a tremendous resource that if somebody gave me a ton of money, I'd probably hire somebody to do this for me. But the Print Media Archive, ParadigmResearchGroup.org, under projects. And so I immediately learned about the Goldie Hawn situation. And of course, it also turns up on X. I mean, I've got 50,000, well, I don't know, 42,000 followers on X, and I'm following certain people. I'm just not in general. And so pretty much most everything that turns up on X on this issue is going to end up in my feed.
Right.
Right. And so I'm able to follow developments there. And of course, that got picked up by X. I'm not on Instagram. I imagine it's that kind of stuff turns up everywhere. Yeah, maybe not Blue Sky, maybe not True Social, but so I have a pretty good idea of where the social media is, where the general public is, and where the professional media are on this issue. And if anybody wanted to use me as an advisor, that would be the strongest material I could present.
Now, are there any plans in the works, to your knowledge, to have another press conference or congressional hearing?
Yeah, on the 8th of May, Stephen Greer is holding a significant event at the National Press Club. Again, it's probably going to have media there. It's essentially regarding the anniversary of the 2001 May 9 press conference, one of the major milestone events in the history of the truth embargo and the end to the work to end it. And that was 2001. So this is the 25th anniversary. And he's holding it on May the 8th because he wants to do it at the press club, and the club is, I don't think he can do it on Saturday the 9th. So he's holding it on the 8th, but it's basically to celebrate May the 9th.
Well, of
And
course.
you can find that online. Just Google Stephen Greer Press Club, May 9th celebration. Go to his website or go to any go to X. You can find it, and that's on May the 8th. I'm not aware of
Well,
it.
this will air after May the 8th, but people can go like YouTube and.
Oh yeah, no, it'll be filmed and it will air later, but it will also be, you can come physically here to the press club. So that's in play. There is a hearing scheduled for the 13th. Again, in the House subcommittee, maybe I think it's the task force, on MK Ultra. I consider that a UAP hearing. All right. Because the research on MK Ultra was being done in the same realms that they're also dealing with the ET issue. And secondly, I think one of the reasons that MK Ultra and some of the mind issues and other stuff that they've done, remote viewing, were triggered by the fact that early on the US government learned that these entities, which they intended to us not know about, were telepathic. And of course, hundreds of thousands of reports from contactees, and there have been that many for those that didn't know that.
And
It's almost universally.
that's just the ones who have come forward and said, I'm a contactee, right?
Yeah, but in many cases, they're simply come forward in private emails or letters to researchers, and that's all. They don't want it to be go further. But
Right.
all of that is archived. These letters and emails are in the archives of these researchers. And I'm aware that it's in the hundreds of thousands now. And almost universally, it's all telepathic. So the government learns early on the ETs are telepathic. But it's not just telepathic between ETs. They're able to do telepathy with humans, which means that the human brain is capable of receiving telepathic communication and sending, meaning that they can take information from your brain, which means that right net there, the brain has abilities which have been rumored for forever. And what other capabilities does the brain have? And I think that that is what really stimulated not only research into what the brain can do, which eventually came to include remote viewing, which is one of the most interesting of all, but I think it stimulated the same research in Russia. And I think the Russian research, or rather Soviet Union, frankly, Soviet Union, I think they got into it before we did, because the evidence seems to indicate that they were already doing this kind of work and we found out about it. That stimulated us to dive into it. And so for the last 70 years plus, Soviet Union and the United States at minimal have spent a fortune trying to understand the power of the human brain. And I can tell you, whatever the hell they learn, they're not telling us.
Well,
Right? Again, because they don't want to upset us by us learning, oh, my brain is more powerful than I thought, because we may then, I don't know, follow their orders or be good citizens or something.
it's said that we only use 10% of our brain,
I've
and
always thought that was a little bit
too much.
extreme, you know, like 10%. However, because if you know how the brain works, that 10% is kind of a meaningless thing. But now it's a little more realistic. So it doesn't matter. It's not so much what percent, even if we're using 90%, but the other 10% has got some amazing power, and that's enough.
Yeah,
And clearly that is the case. And now that is starting to break down. Not to mention the fact that there's plenty of material out there about MK Ultra and about this research, which again is dismissed by and large by the mainstream, but that's going to change. But the issue of telepathy, which is central to the contactee phenomena, may be about to finally break open. The research that was done by the government is obviously classified. There was research done at Princeton. There was research done at Duke. Eventually, they shut that down and went private. But now a breakthrough has taken place because of the research of Diane Hennessy Powell, who is a legitimate scientist, and she discovered the telepathic issue because she was doing, you know, God's work with Savant children and autistic children. And lo and behold, some of them were telepathic with their mothers. And so she interviewed many of them and started to create work on a documentary. But while they were working on the documentary, which is on hold right now, I believe, they made the brilliant decision of, well, let's put the interviews up at least online, which will be in the documentary, but let's put them out now. And they were called the telepathy, they are called and are still called the telepathy tapes. And I only had to listen to about four of them, and I said, oh boy, this is a big deal.
So tell our listeners where they can go to check out more of your work.
Well, where you want to go and where you want to support, Paradigm Research Group, nonprofit, paradigmresearchgroup.org. The New Paradigm Institute, which is literally the biggest activist group now going on, building huge networks, including the Citizens for Disclosure Network, which eventually be in 50 states. And that is a nonprofit. Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, nonprofit, and that's hollywooddisclosurealliance.org. These are the three that I'm closest to, but there are many others. You've got nonprofits forming all over the place. MUFON's a nonprofit. I think the Soul Foundation is a nonprofit. UAP just found UAP just the foundation is a nonprofit. And these are groups that are being formed by people of, how would you say, substance and credentials, degrees, and all that stuff. People who years ago just couldn't touch it. Right, because I can't risk my place in society or my career or my marriage for that matter. Now these people are going, oh, okay, this is it. And now they're coming together and doing their thing. I hope that they would try to include some of us peons that have been doing this for a long time that don't have those careers. Whatever chance I had of having, quote, a career, that disappeared the moment I stepped into this issue. Now, I stepped into it very late in life, so I'm not upset by it. But let me tell you, pursuing the truth embargo for regular citizens for the last 8 years has required an enormous amount of sacrifice.
Stephen Bassett, I appreciate you coming on our show. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but maybe we can do this another
We
3 years.
let's not wait 3 years.
Okay.
Come on, you know, 3 years, right? And if we get disclosure right away, I definitely want to come back and celebrate with you. Fair
Oh,
enough.
yeah. Good enough.
Okay.
Thank you, Stephen.
And I want to thank you, the loyal listener. Go to WHFR's homepage, scroll down to We Are Not Alone, and click on the headline, which will take you to where you can find my website with all the archive shows. Or click on the Talk Shows button, then the We Are Not Alone button for the latest show archives. And please join me the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UAP phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.